back in, everyone, to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined by a fabulous show today. I'm so excited to be sharing the show with you, and I'm so excited about the guests that we have join us. Today we have the conceiver, director, and choreographer, Jacob Carr, whose upcoming production is being presented by Blue Topaz Productions and Renaissance Theater Company. And the show is called Ain't Done Bad. It's playing July 9th through September 1st at the Pershing Square Signature Center here in New York City. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting aintdonebad.com. If you were to do a quick Google search about our guests, you will see many notable performances from Broadway to, I believe it was So You Think You Can Dance. And now he's bringing this amazing production over to the Pershing Square Signature Center. So why don't we go ahead and welcome on our guests? I'm so excited to be talking with them. Jacob, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Andrew, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and pleasure to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. This is going to be wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and just dive right into the show. Ain't Done Bad. You start by telling us a little bit about what the show is about.
Absolutely. So the show is, I kind of call it my love letter to life in a way. We follow the story of a young person who is in a dysfunctional family and who is really outcast and just sort of unwelcome and misunderstood. And he has to make the decision to stay or go. And he does end up leaving home and getting out onto the world and trying to experience life that he has only ever seen or heard of, but hasn't really found. So he goes on this journey and he has some stumbles along the way. He meets some people who he gathers and keeps, and he finds some people that he releases. And we do all of it through the art of dance. And the whole music, or the whole show, is set to the music of Orville Peck. And we are, you know, I was able to really tie a story in between his lyrics and really just his sound and his tone and the way that I like to dance really matched in with that. So that was kind of the genesis of all of it, was just with this music, with this storyline, how can I pair the two of them? And I somehow did.
That is amazing. I love that. So what exactly inspired you to create this piece?
So I wrote this show on a legal pad in like 2 hours in 2020. It was the darkest depths of COVID, and I had been in the city for the first 6 months of quarantine and honestly just got bored. And so I left the city and I went back to Florida, where I'm from. And I hadn't spent more than a week there since 2008, since I moved to the city. And I ended up staying there for like 5 months. And it was a really, really shocking revelation for me to get back to the place that I'd grown up, that I had loved and I had only loved, to get back to it and kind of realize like, oh, actually this place is really not for me anymore. And it was at a time when theater was really, I thought we were never, ever performing again. I really thought we were shut down. I thought we were the first industry to really close. And I kind of was like, well, that's a scary sign. That might be telling. But what ended up happening was a person on the board of the Orlando Fringe Festival reached out to me directly and said, hey, I heard that you're in town. We actually are able to run our festival this year. We're doing all the COVID protocols. Masks are required, really limited audiences. But I think if you're in town and you want to present something, you should. And I had been kind of piecing this show story together in my head. And so as soon as that came to me, I went onto the Orlando Fringe website and began the application, and a little timer went off in the corner. And I realized that I had to write this thing. Like, I had to actually make this up, fill out an application, get it in there, say how many people I had, say what I needed. So I really was then forced to, under a really, really solid time crunch, write this thing out. I ended up getting accepted into the festival. It's a lottery-based system. And then I had like 4 weeks to create this show before we went down there.
Oh my gosh. Wow. What an incredible feat to accomplish. I mean, creating the show to begin with is a huge undertaking, but to do it in that little amount of time, that is amazing. Mm-hmm. So what has it been like developing this current iteration that you're bringing to New York?
Yeah, I love this question, because The usage of this iteration is really the truth. This is our fourth year doing the show. So we premiered the show then in May of 2021, and we have done it every summer since then. And every version has been different. Casting has been slightly different. Music has been slightly different. Luckily, we have a great relationship with the reps at Orville's labels, and he's just coincidentally released new music every year. So we've been able to incorporate new songs, which have helped to develop the storyline and have helped to develop each character. And I meant to say this earlier, every person in the show has a very, very specific, distinct role. There's a mother, there's a father, there's a brother, there's a son, there's two friends, and there's a lover. And they play these characters start to finish. And so I've been able to really develop and dig into those over the years with the added music, and with I've been able to expand the length of the show, and our venues have gotten larger. And it's as our space has grown, we have grown as well.
A
Yeah,
true
it's really cool. We
keep that
actually
characters alive.
just did a run through this morning, and one of my friends who was in the original version of the show, who hasn't seen it since then, came in for a run through, and even she was like, this is a whole different show. She was like, it's so professional, it's so done now. Because the first version we did was just a bunch of friends just putting a show up at Orlando Fringe and just fingers crossed hoping for the best. And so for her to come back in our fourth version and say, like, holy cow, this is a fleshed out story, was really amazing.
Well, with this fabulous piece, with its relatable themes and such, is there a particular message or thought you hope audiences will take away from it?
Definitely. I think that relatability in theater can be subjective, of course, but I think it's really important that we create pieces that the audience feels like they're part of. They don't want to be left out. They don't want to be left behind. And I think that in creating this show, I really wanted to establish a piece that was certainly, a love letter to people who have ever struggled to find themselves, which I kind of think maybe is everybody. But at the end of it, really, it's a testament to the people that you find in your life who help you become who you are, and who literally hold your hand and walk you to the best version of yourself. And it is those people who sometimes can come in and replace the people that we no longer need. And I think if there's a world in which you find love in your life as a partner, as a friend, as a mentor, and then at the end, you can also keep all of the love that you had before. I think that's an ultimate shared goal. And so this piece, I really wanted it, or I want it still to feel like a relatable piece to anyone and everyone watching it. It's certainly a queer story about one specifically gay young man and his journey out of his home. But I think we all have experienced fear before. I think we've all felt the nerve of starting over or meeting new people or beginning a new relationship or getting in a fight. And I think that the more we as a cast can just give the show to our audience, I hope it'll be taken and appreciated and accepted.
I think that is a lovely thought. I really do. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, that is a wonderful leading to my final question for this first part, which is who are you hoping to have access to this piece?
I definitely think that there is a big open hug for young people to come see this show. I think that currently in today's day and age, it's hard to be anybody, and I think that our youth is struggling, and I think that they need to feel like they're seen. And I think that we always talk about these generational divides between millennials and boomers and Gen Z and millennial, but I think that really we have so much more in common than we ever think. And so, yes, I'm a millennial, I'm 34, but if a 17-year-old can come see this show, I think that they'll be surprised at how relatable we can be to one another. So I'm really hoping we get a lot of that. We have a student rush that will be launched on Today Ticks. I think that's happening today, fingers crossed. So definitely making room for that. Also, it's a family story, and at its core, it's a mom, a dad, and two sons. And so anyone who has family, which is hopefully everyone to a certain extent, chosen family even, should come see it. There's a lot that we have to say through dance and through Orville's music, and I think everyone can find something to take home with them from it.
part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners the chance to get to know our guest a little bit better. Pick your brain, if you will. And I would love to know what or who inspires you. What playwrights, composers, shows, even choreographers have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites?
Totally. I was so lucky to, I worked for a dance convention when I was 18 through like 25. And it's, if you, for those who don't know, it's traveling dance classes basically, but it goes into like hotel ballrooms and thousands of people attend. And I was hired as an assistant. So it was just my job to assist all of these major, major, major teachers. And it was Andy Blankenbuehler, and it was Mia Michaels, and it was people who really helped me develop my voice as a choreographer through getting to learn theirs and see theirs. I think that, you know, we're nothing if not a product of what we've learned from the people that we admire. And so certainly those people were a huge part of my life becoming a creative. And, you know, the I saw Moving Out, and it changed my life as a kid. I remember seeing Elizabeth Parkinson in her La Duca in the red dress and thinking like, when do I get to be that track? I was like, the guys are doing the cool stuff, they're doing all the jumps, but I want to do that backflip where she flips over them and her red hair flew back. I was like, when do I get to be that? When is my turn? I was like, come on, Twyla, I'm 14, help me out here. But that was certainly a huge inspiration for me. I love theater. I'm such a theater kid. I always have been. When the Wicked soundtrack came out and whatever year that was the only thing I listened to. And I, at that time, didn't even have Broadway dreams. I just liked it. I just loved the music. And so I've been a theater kid at heart, really from my youth. And it's still here. And I hope that never goes away.
Oh, I love that so much, so much. I know you've been very busy with this piece, but by chance, have you seen any theater lately you might be able to recommend to our listeners?
Go see Illinois. It's beautiful. It's, the cast is unbelievable. So many of them are such good friends of mine. And you know, that it's moving to me to see my peers being elevated in that way. And in a way that, like, we don't always get that chance. You know, I was lucky to be in the Cats revival on Broadway that featured so many dancers, but it's hard to find that opportunity. And so anytime there's a big dance show, I'm team go see it, go cheer and go support them, because it's hard work and it's beautiful work. And, you know, anytime it pops up, I'm a dance theater stan. But I also think there's so many things I haven't gotten to see yet this season that I'm bummed about, but it's on my list. I have to go see a lot of things, but so far that's really all I got to see this season, unfortunately.
I cannot wait to see it. I am currently working on acquiring tickets. We'll put it that way. I want to know, what is your favorite part about working in?
I love the community of it. I love the common goal of building, creating, and being in theater. I think that it's the kind of industry that you can't, and quite frankly, shouldn't do if you don't love it. And I heard an interview years ago, I believe it was Kristen, I know it was Kristen Chenoweth, I think it was on RuPaul's podcast, where he asked her advice for young performers. And she said, if there's anything else you like to do, do that instead. And that has stuck with me, and it's hilarious. And it's so blunt, but I get it. It's so hard to do this for a living. But it's such a great welcoming community to be a part of. And so that my favorite thing about it is the proximity to other people who want to do exactly what you want to do. No one's sitting at a desk all day, or even if they are, once they come into their show, there's just a common goal to deliver a beautiful piece for an audience to receive. And I love that. It's in a way, it's a generous career to be a part of. And I also love the athleticism of it. And you know, all my best friends are my best friends because of theater.
I love that. So wonderful. Well, that is a wonderful lead into my favorite question, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh, easy. Seeing Little Shop of Horrors. It was my first trip to the city, and it was Hunter Foster and Carrie Butler. And it was my first time ever thinking like, oh, I want to be in that. Because I never, when I first started, I didn't start dancing until I was 12, but once I got into it, I never thought about being a Broadway performer or a theater performer at all. Like I said kind of earlier, I was like, I'm gonna be a concert dancer. I'm gonna dance for complexions, or I, you know, that was kind of what I was thinking of. And when they sang Skid Row and Carrie Butler had that little arm cast on, I was like, this is, I have to do that. And then we came back a couple months later and the show was still running and it was Joey Fatone instead of Hunter Foster. And we saw it again. And I was like, if he can do it, because he lived in Orlando forever, which is where I'm from, during the development of the boy band eras. And as though I thought somehow we were comparable. It was like, if Joey Fatone can be on Broadway, so can I. Yeah, Little Shop was certainly a huge memory for me that absolutely changed my life. And I'm lucky that I have a mother who took me to theater and brought me to New York. And as soon as she saw that little glimmer of performer in me, she was like, let's go. We're going to see a show. Pack, let's go.
Such a wonderful memory. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing that. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug?
Currently, Ain't That Bad is my baby, my firstborn, my only born. So I'm putting all of my energy and hope and faith into this project. It's a show that I love so much. It's a show that I have so much faith in, and that I have, you know, just really spent so much time developing. And my brain is, of course, always full of other things, other thoughts and ideas. But I'm gonna see this one through first, and then I'll tell you later.
Wonderful. Well, then we will have to keep close tabs to
Perfect.
find out what's next. And that leads to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Ain't Done Bad or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Please follow us on Instagram, aintdonebad.com. Sorry, just at aintdonebad. Our website is aintdonebad.com. My Instagram handle is Jacob A. Carr, K in the Jacob, K in the Carr. And I'm actively reposting everything from our Instagram team, from our social media team, who are doing a fantastic job. I'm so happy with them. But yeah, we're all over the socials. We're on TikTok as well, also Ain't Done Bad. And we're really, really, really excited to share this story. This is our final day in studio right now, and we're really ready to get on stage and deliver this to our audiences. So please come through, please come see us and bring somebody you love, or maybe bring somebody you want to love and see how it goes.
Wonderful. Well, Jacob, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for all that you have shared with us. Just your wonderful insight, your wonderful messages. This has been so lovely. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me, Andrew. This has been such a pleasure.
My guest today has been the amazing conceiver, director, and choreographer Jacob Carr, who joined us to talk about Blue Topaz Productions and Renaissance Theatre Company's presentation of Ain't Done Bad. It's playing July 9th through September 1st at the Pershing Square Signature Center, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting aintdonebad.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But right now, y'all, get your tickets for this great show. I know we're going to be there. We'll make it a Stage Whisper night out at the theater. You are not going to want to miss this amazing show. Head over to aintdonebad.com now. Get your tickets for the show, Ain't Done Bad, playing July 9th through September 1st. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a five-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.